Herzlich willkommen zu New York to Zurich, täglich der Börsenpodcast von SwissQuote, heute mit einer Sonderausgabe. Meine liebe Mutter hatte in der vergangenen Woche einen schweren Schlaganfall. Wir haben sie in den letzten Tagen auf ihren letzten Wegen begleitet. Daher wird es an diesem Montag und am Dienstag einen Sonderpodcast geben. Ab Mittwoch beginnen dann wieder die herkömmlichen Marktberichte. Heute, an diesem Montag, sind wir im Gespräch mit Dr. Richard Smith von der Foundation for the Study of Cycles. Es geht um Zeitzyklen an den Kapitalmärkten.
Diese Sendung wird Ihnen von SwissQuote präsentiert.
Wir sprechen mit Dr. Richard Smith. Er ist Chairman und Executive Director der Foundation for the Study of Cycles, einer Organisation, die sich mit Zyklen auseinandersetzt, im Zusammenhang mit dem Kapitalmarkt, der Wirtschaft, aber auch der Gesellschaft. Und das wirklich Erstaunliche ist, dass bei dieser Zyklenkonferenz Persönlichkeiten auftauchen, die man selten an einem Ort trifft. Für mich in meiner Karriere ein ganz persönliches Highlight. Ich hätte nie gedacht, John Bollinger von den Bollinger Bändern oder Tom McLennan von dem McLennan-Oszillator oder Elliot Praktor, dessen Vater die Elliott-Wellentheorie groß gemacht hat, Peter Borish, der unter Paul Tudor Jones den Crash 1987 genau richtig getimt hat, alle diese Jungs auf einem Haufen zu treffen, hätte ich nie für möglich gehalten. Warum sind die eigentlich hier und wie kann man Zyklenanalyse praktisch anwenden? Darüber sprechen wir jetzt.
Can you lead us a little bit through what the foundation is about and what happened in the years so that you revived it?
The foundation officially was started in 1941 by Edward R. Dewey, who was the chief economist of the Hoover administration, Copley Amory, who was a Boston Brahmin and investment banker at Loomis Sayles, which is still in business today. Ellsworth Huntington was another key founder. He was the head of geology at Yale, the secretary of the Smithsonian, Charles Greeley Abbott, who was interested in sunspots, the head of the Harvard Observatory, Harlow Shapley, a number of political and industrial leaders as well, and all of them had this sense that something's missing from our understanding of the world, right?
So with what idea was the foundation created and what connects all these cycles together?
Well, I think the actual explanation is that that the world, that reality has kind of a geometry to it, and that we actually see that in quantum physics today. The idea of the wave function, which has cycles in it, the wave function has, sorry for getting a little wonky here, but it has the imaginary number I. And I is the core of the complex numbers, and I is the source of rotation. So when you multiply by I, you come around, four times, you complete the circle. But then also, I think that the finance space does, it's a wonderful experimental space with a lot of data, right? And a lot of kind of clear feedback of whether you're right or you're wrong, right? So I think that that's part of the appeal of finance as well. But I think that that is probably true of other sectors of the economy too, right? That just a lot more interested in finance generally. But we just saw John Bollinger, for example, give a talk. And Bollinger bands, he pointed out, are in use by the European Aeronautical Society, by some big companies. Bollinger bands are broader than finance, even though most everybody thinks of Bollinger bands as being financial. But number patterns are, broader than just the markets and finance.
So, Lars, maybe one question for you. What do you think is the biggest misconception if, for private investors or for somebody that has not dealt with time cycles yet? I remember when you and I started streaming on our channel, it was like, wow, that sounds a bit esoteric. It's like, but it's the total opposite to that, right?
Yeah, it's the total opposite. So we try to isolate those cycles based on very data-driven and scientific approaches. So that's said first. So what we are using is accepted algorithms and knowledge how to process data these days. But the science of cycles is then to get a reasoning about what's the most dominant one, because that's also coming from the finance industry, then that's where we're all hunting for. Yeah, what's the most dominant? And even though if we find that cycle, one of the big misconceptions is then to think about, okay, here's then the top and here's the low. That's exactly not to use cycles, and especially not in that isolated perspective. So cycles help us on the time axis to identify windows of opportunities where there's a high probability that possible a change in trend might occur due to the recurring rhythms we have seen, we have isolated, we can measure, we can project forward. So this gives us a kind of probability based on past rhythms. So it does not replace the tools a professional Wall Street trader needs to use. It just adds up another perspective on the time.
Are there any specific indicators that should be combined with when in practical terms?
Yeah, so once you have isolated dominant cycles, it helps to improve technical analysis regardless of which indicator. So this is why the science of cycles also bridges into the technical analysis community, which we also have here on site. So that's also a reason why in the finance industry they are interested, not just because they can plot cycles, but you can use the information of cycles to optimize other technical indicators you have. So most technical analysis happens on the price scale. They are analyzing price, overbought, oversold. This has nothing to do with time, patterns in price, the impulse pattern 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we just talked about, Elliot. It's price-based, independent from time. So cycles add then another dimension. So if you combine price-based analysis, like an Elliott wave pattern, which you have isolated, which you have identified, where you have used E-Wave as a software, whatever, or you're an expert in that, and then you can look for situations when the time cycles is in alignment with your technical Elliott wave pattern or favorite technical analysis method. That's when the true benefit, and I think that's also why so much Wall Street or finance colleagues are here. They are not looking for a holy grail. Cycles are not the holy grail, but it can help to improve the instruments you're already using.
You're the chairman and the executive director of the foundation, looking at the past before looking into the future. How has it evolved over the last few years, and where do you see the foundation heading in the future?
You know, we're doing this conference for the second year now. I'm starting to think a lot bigger at this point, you know, especially given the interest that people are showing up. But not only that, just, you know, it's very inspiring to hear these guys sort of come out with their best work as though they've been kind of hiding it, you know, for a few years, you know. John Bollinger's talk was amazing today, you know, and so was Stan Harley, and Harry Dent was really interesting too. And Elliott Prechter, I thought some of the things he said about, you know, like, back testing and like, but kind of equal weighting all events and not having the big moves dominate, you know, your future forecast was a fascinating piece of research. So there's just so much to do. John Bollinger, he said, my biggest message is question everything, you know, and I really think there's an opportunity right now to question everything. And it's exciting to me that these guys care so much about this. And I feel like, man, I really want to get these guys more love and more credibility for what they've contributed, you know, even though they've kind of been a little bit out of the institutional limelight.
They have been, yet they're all names that anybody on Wall Street would recognize.
I know, isn't that wild?
And they all seem to be using time cycles one or the other way. So how do you think technology is changing the way on using time cycles in practical terms? Mm-hmm. And how does it affect maybe time cycle itself, no, through the growing influence of machines and AI in trading?
Yeah, well, it's a little early to say at this point. My experience of kind of the emerging technologies is that they're allowing me to dig a lot deeper, not into generating new indicators, but in trying to really understand what cycles are.
Okay, so like one of the big things that I've been talking about this week is the model of the tides, okay, and how the sun and the moon and their angular relationship to the earth are responsible for about 80 to 85% of the heights of the tides over the course of the month, right? And this is a very, you know, it's as scientific of a model as you can get, right? Mm-hmm. And yet we don't really think about it this way, and we don't think about markets this way, even though I think it was Edgar Lawrence Smith wrote Tides in the Affairs of Men, right? But so this model that there are these kind of orbitals, right? Which what that means is that there's some kind of container, there's some kind of closure that's happening. And I think this is actually present in markets too, market structure, institutions. You know, there are walls that the waves bounce back and forth off of. There's some kind of conservation of energy from a physics perspective. And so just being able to, I think, have more people have access to that kind of knowledge and explanation gives us an opportunity to sort of democratize knowledge in a way, and gives more people the ability to say, look, you know, what I've been doing has real merit. And it's not just you institutions that want to preserve your status as somehow being the only ones that can give us the explanations of reality. You know, more people are in a better position now to say, look, here's my explanation of reality, and get some exposure for that.
For anybody that is watching us, that wants to learn more about time cycles, about the foundation, where would they find more information?
Well, we're on YouTube, I think, is our biggest resource right now. And I would just say to everybody who's looking into cycles, the first thing you need to know about cycles is they can be incredibly misleading, right? And it's not that they're misleading, it's just that there are cycles and there are cycles. And it takes a lot of human work to really identify, you know, enduring, impactful cycles, to understand, you know, how cycles come in and out, how they change. Because what I'd want to say to people is, yes, learn about cycles. Watch out for getting seduced by cycles. And make sure that you really invest the time, you know, it's so easy to put up a chart, right? We all think it's a chart, it's gotta be right, it's math, I'm a genius. It just doesn't work that way. If you wanna do anything well, it takes 5-10 years to really get to a level of mastery. You gotta be careful along the way while you're working up to that, but you can get there, and cycles can absolutely make a difference in your work in whatever analysis you're doing.
So Richard, thank you again. It's a great pleasure, and it's also, you guys are all very welcoming, and that's not always a given. And thanks again to the foundation, to both of you for having us, and have a great day.
Thanks so much for having us, Marcus. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lars.